Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Kathleen Bolt. I am a medium in Lilydale, and we are at the Medium's Porch today. This is our Vantage Point episode. We will be interviewing a special guest. You may already see her on the screen. We are gathering today, and we're going to be talking about all kinds of wonderful things related to spiritualism, related to community, self-development, and finding places to go for that, as well as resources. So I'm looking forward to this time together. I want to introduce you to our special guest. Our special guest is Reverend Karen Keasley. She is, hello, Karen.
Hello, Kat. How are you?
Good. We said hello to each other for the last 10 minutes straight, right?
Say it one more time. How's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
As we're getting ready here. Karen, I'm going to read from the back of her book. She's written this book. We'll talk more about it in a moment. And I'm reading from the back of the book because I really feel like it gives a very solid profile of Karen and where she's been, what she's done, what she's accomplished, and then she'll be talking about her personal self in a few minutes. Reverend Karen Keasley had a near-death experience at the age of 5 when she died on the operating table. Because of that experience, she has been conscious of the spirit world since that time. After her parents passed, she was drawn to mediumship. She studied under 2 great mediums, Reverend Leonard Young, a British medium who taught at Arthur Findlay College at Stansted, and Reverend Janet Nahavik, who leads the Journey Within Church in New Jersey, USA. Karen is trained as an evidential and platform medium and opened her own church, the Spiritual Path Church in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. And we were just discussing that's, what did you say, 50 miles north of Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Okay, great. And she is affiliated with, her church is affiliated with the Spiritualist Nationalist Union, which is in Britain. And she is also a member. She is also, you can see I read very often. She is also a member of the Lilydale Assembly and International Association for Near-Death Studies, as well as a member of the International Spiritualist Federation. So welcome,
Thank
Reverend
you.
Keasley. I'm so
Thank
glad
you.
To have you here. Yeah. So I'm wanted
so glad to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad. That's excellent. Yeah, I wanted to bring you on because in the month of March, I was doing my own homework and starting to learn more about the history of spiritualism and the history of the women spiritualists. And being the month of March, I decided to post one spiritualist, whether she was a medium or a seer or a healer, it was all good, as long as she was connected with spiritualism, who has really made a difference in our lives today. And so I posted one person a day. So it was my homework, but I put it out there for you guys. And one of the sources that I used for my information to make those summaries was from this book, Seers, Mediums, and Spiritualists. And it's a wonderful tome listing males and female spiritualists. I highly recommend it. And it was written by Karen. So Karen, do you want to take a second to just give us a little insight about this? You wrote with Susan Urbanek-Linville, PhD, you partnered with her. Tell us a little bit about this journey of writing this beautiful resource.
Well, it all started that we started doing blogs. I have a website, and I'm really passionate about bringing the history of spiritualism and spiritualists out there to the world, not just to the United States, but to the world. And a lot of people don't really know spiritualism as we know it, or spiritualists. So I went on this endeavor, on my path, on this journey, to actually have some type of information in very concrete and relaxed to the other side, that people can take that book, like you look at it, oh, I didn't know about that person, I didn't know about that person. And so more of a reference book, but it's done out of love.
Absolutely.
It's not a love for spirit world.
Absolutely. And it's nice because at the end of each of the people that you wrote about, you have the bibliography here. And
right.
It's nice because then you can see some of the sources that the or the productions and publications that the individuals you're speaking about wrote, because you went to some of the actual publications to get your information.
Yeah.
Little touch that you put in there. But definitely this is just filled with wonderful resources. And I found it I was actually very excited when I found it, because I've been looking for over a year to try and research this without making it this overwhelming study, because there are so many people that we need to honor. And this isn't even half of it, never mind the people that are working around us today. So this is something I liked, because it took me back to a starting point. It gave me an idea of some of the people that, you know, names get tossed around through teachers, people that are influential. So it's a good starting point, and definitely was very interesting. Did you find when you were writing this that you got to know yourself better through the work of the others in the book and the work they've done?
Yes, I did. When you write about spiritualism or spiritualists, you always find little nuggets of gold that you can take and help reestablish your life or your path as you go on this journey. Because to me, the day I found was a wonderful thing. It has helped me deal with my problems in my own life. Being a spiritualist has made me be stronger in my life.
Right.
You know, just by reading about these people and what they did to become spiritualist and the spiritualist. You understand? They went through a lot of trials and tribulations.
Yes, I noticed with the women, I mean, they were trying to be moms. They were, back in the day when there's this assumption that people didn't get divorced back then, but a lot of these women were single women, whether they were divorced or not. Not everybody, but many of them. And then they were traveling and they were doing spiritualism and then they were being moms. It was a lot, especially in that era.
It's a lot. Yeah. And even the men too.
Sure.
Because if you look at John Worth Edmonds, he was a judge in the New York Supreme Court. Very, very brilliant man. Very brilliant.
Right.
But, you know, he had to make a decision, and he found spiritualism, and he loved it. He wrote books on it, too. And they said to him, either you have to give up being a spiritualist or you have to remove yourself from the bench of the New York Supreme Court. So he stepped down, and he stayed with his principles of spiritualism.
Good for him. And it looks like here, when I just glanced, it says after the death of his wife and we're talking 1851 here, we're not talking recently, right? Edmonds was persuaded to attend a seance with his friends. And like a lot of people, they have to go through an experience before they realize there's got to be something more if they haven't figured it out already. Have you found that a pattern as well?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's definitely a pattern.
Yeah, because I see it in the mediumship I do, and I'm sure you do with mediumship as well as your research. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many people we could mention here. We could spend a whole hour talking just about these people and the book and the magic they created for us. But I highly recommend to all our listeners, because we're not going to be able to do all that today, I want to recommend that you find this book. It's on Amazon. And if you're a spiritualist and want to know more and be inspired, I personally was inspired when, you know, as I said, I just started with the women because it was, you know, that's when I picked up my book. I got to work on the men yet in terms of getting to know them. But the women, I mean, they were inspiring. You know, it's nice to see in a world where everything's changing all the time and we talk about how difficult times are now. We got to work through it, and spiritualism can be there for us as they were for these people who also had trials, like you said, trials and tribulations, Karen. Yeah. So I highly recommend it. You sell this on Amazon.
Yes.
Anywhere else they can find this?
Just basically on Amazon, yes.
Okay, cool.
I have it on a website, my website, but it goes to Amazon directly.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that I noticed with this book is that it's about the individuals that were important and made an influential impact in the early days of spiritualism. Also, during the early days of spiritualism, those individuals got together and they formed communities. And recently in March, Karen published this book with Susan, and it is The Spiritualist Camps. And what blew me away, I knew there was a lot of them through the states, but to actually see the numbers was fascinating. I mean, it was, what, 40 camps you found? And 20, in,
I think
across
it was 25
more than
50 camps. Yeah.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. 50 or 60. I thought it was close to 60, actually. But some of the camps, you have to realize, they didn't last long. Some of them only lasted maybe a couple months or two, you know, and mm-hmm. some camps, they rented the space to do the camps. But we wanted to find as much as we could about spiritual camps.
Right.
Because I don't feel that there was enough history, right, for
mm-hmm.
spiritual camps.
Yep.
So that's what we did.
Nice. The structure of the book is lovely because somebody encountering the book for the first time, I mean, I love how you opened it up. You gave a little bit of the background. You talked about the forerunners of spiritualism. You started with Emanuel Swedenborg, went to Andrew Jackson Davis, worked your way up to the Fox sisters, you know.
Right.
And what's interesting about this, like I said, it's kind of a compendium so that a person isn't overwhelmed by going to the library and like, where do I start? Right? It's nice because it gives you this little synopsis at the beginning of the progression. It's not as dry as a timeline, which is nice. It tells the story. One thing I thought was interesting is, you know, we tend to give a lot of credit to the Fox sisters for starting spiritualism. Looking at the history, it's clear that, you know, that the concepts, the ideas, the frameworks, the questions around what embodies spiritualism now, they've been at, you know, we've been asking those for as long as humanity existed, but in the format they now exist, we even started asking those. And that's why I think you put that in there. Am I right? You know, Emanuel Swedenborg was worth mentioning. So was
Andrew Jackson Davis. Yes, he was. He really was.
In their influence, both of them. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Emma Harding Britton.
Yes.
You know, where would we be without her and her beautiful spiritual principles and her commandments?
She was so devoted to spiritualism. You know, she wanted to be an actress and she gave it up, you know, to be a spiritualist. But she was really devoted to spiritualism.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah, and being a good actress, she's also a good speaker, right? So that
yes.
she went on and did all these lectures and really helped advance spiritualism. So that was nice. But what I love about this book as well is that you do go through even these short ones, like you said, the ones that have been around
ones,
for a little while. So, you know, we can visit this and be inspired by the things that happened, the people, because you do talk about the people that drove
prominent
the driving
people.
Force.
We found some prominent people that were associated with the book, like Camp Silverbell. You have Parrish in there. She was a great medium, and she was associated with Camp Silverbell. You know, so that's what we tried to do too.
Yeah. Is there, out of all these camps, was there one when you were writing where you're like, oh, I wish it still existed?
No, not really. I can't say that I no. Well, you know, I did like Camp Silverbell. I really did like that one. That was in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. from Pennsylvania. Maybe it's because of that. I don't think so. But I was drawn to her, though. She was an excellent medium at her time.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'll have to research her more. That would be great.
Yeah, that would be good.
And anybody that wants to research it, Spiritualist Camps, Their History and Prominent People, on Amazon as well. So very good. So you yourself, you are a seeker. You are serious about your spiritualism.
Yes.
You are a true seeker, just as Emma Harding said we're supposed to be. Right? In her commandment,
yes.
Thou shalt search for truth in every part of being. And then she goes on to say more. But, you know, I love that because I think truth is what we have. That's what's available to us. And that's what we can go after. So tell us a little more about your faith, your service, your seeking of truth. Do you have a personal creed you want to share with the audience?
Well, you know, it was hard for me to get into spiritualism because I was a social worker by trade and I live in a small community of Newcastle. So, but I had spirit connection ever since the age of five. So I, you know, I knew I had this. I mean, I saw spirit, I talked spirit, but I sort of put it on a back burner. And then when my parents passed away, I said, I have to really do this. It was just, you know, once they grab you and they know about you, then you can't turn back. And I didn't want to turn back. I didn't want to turn back
no.
because I knew this was a service that I could actually help somebody that was really needing help
mm-hmm.
in different different aspects. You know, if I may say this, in the book The Blue Island by William Stead, he has in one part of the book that when he was over on the other side, when he's over on the side, he did this through writings and through going to seances with his daughter Estelle, that what really caught me was there were a group of people on the other side. They called themselves travelers. And so they would go and meet and look down here on this earth plane to find people that could help them work with them and work with us here in the a physical world. So I find that beautiful.
Yeah.
I think when I pass over, I think I would definitely like to be a traveler to find people that we know that will be so conducive to bridge the two worlds together.
And essentially, that's what you're doing now in your work, in your church. Tell us a little bit about your church and how that came into being.
My church. Okay, so I started my mediumship at the Journey Within in 2004. And I studied under Leonard Young for at least two and a half, and Reverend Janet Nohavik, who has since passed. I was up at Lilydale, and I was having dinner with Reverend Nohavik, and we're sitting there, and she always called me Heasley. She goes, Heasley, when are you going to start that church? I said, what? I said, I'm not going to start a church. And that was in August, and she just looked at me and said, oh, I think you are. And I said, I think I'm not. So anyway, that was in August. And by October, a friend of the family called us and said, hey, I found a church that's going up for state auction. Would you like to look at it? And I said, I said to the spirit world, okay, you want me to start a church? This church better have pews or I don't want it. So I walked into the church. And lo and behold, they have pews. And then there's a brilliant artist in Newcastle that did a full mural of the front of the church, of the bridge between the two worlds.
Wow.
And so I've been very blessed. And I feel that I didn't realize that I was going to stay in Newcastle and do my mediumistic work. But as it turned out, that wasn't my decision. That was a spiritual decision where they wanted to put me. They found me a church. They found me a church of pews. I always say, it's really not my church. It's their church. Yes. I'm just doing service for them.
Right. Right.
Because it isn't. It's
so you're the head pastor, right?
I'm the head pastor, but they're my bosses on the other
church. Side. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know you have a very strong community, and we have a lovely surprise. I was expecting to just speak with you today, and then I got this lovely surprise of some of your members showing up here on Zoom. So I'm going to let them in.
Okay.
I think it'd be great fun.
You
know, we'll talk what we talk about. It'll be great. So we've got Debbie Packler, so I'm going to let her come in. We've got Marilyn Fair. These ladies are going to introduce themselves.
Okay.
I haven't. We've got Pamela, and we've got an iPhone guest. So they all have the link, so I know they're connected with you. And let me see. Debbie, I have you here with a second link. Should I be letting that person in as well? Let me know when you get through here. And hopefully everybody can be seen here. We are recording, ladies, just so you know. I'm not sure which one's coming in here. And if when you come in, ladies, you'll have to unmute yourselves. So we talk about spirit teams, but here on the earth plane, it's really important to have community. It's really important.
Oh, no, it's important. If you want me to, I'd like to say something about that.
Absolutely. I'll look forward to that. Yeah, we're just waiting for the ladies to join us here. I can't see you yet, ladies, but you're here.
I guess they're not putting their cameras on.
Maybe not. Maybe they walked away for a minute because they were waiting for a while. Let me see if we have a caller here online.
Okay, go ahead.
Yet. So, no, we don't have anybody yet. Let's see if we have anybody on Facebook that has a question here while we're waiting for the ladies. Hard for me to see everything at once with this little screen I got here.
doing a wonderful job.
Let's see. Still looking. I love my patient audience.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people that are listening back, they get to fast forward. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah, they can skip the part where we have a little lull, like right now when I'm looking here. Yeah, so, well, I can't see anybody here. Let's see. Here.
Hey,
oh,
Sam.
There we go. Hey, we got some people showing up. Excellent. All right, let me just see real quick. Yeah, nobody's written anything. We're good. Okay, Pamela, welcome. Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Pam. How are you connected to Reverend Heasley and the Spiritualist Path Church? And
oh, I've been a member for a long time to the church, and then I got interested in becoming a minister and took Karen's mediumship classes. So I'm on a path of learning, to be honest, and I'm just taking the classes and trying to get better at it.
Beautiful. You know, we're all on a path of learning. That is for sure. I remember recently coming across that statement where they say, you know, God talks to you and says, I gave you plenty of opportunities to practice patience. They just didn't look like patience. You're supposed to find the patience, right? So we're always learning, right?
That's right.
Beautiful. Nice to meet you. Thanks for joining us, Pamela. And we've got Marilyn here. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
Can you hear me?
I can. Yeah. Tell us a little about yourself.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'm the assistant pastor in Karen's church.
Wonderful. Welcome. And what is your passion?
Well?
In spiritualism. We'll narrow it down.
Okay. In spiritualism?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a loaded question there. It's a very important question. Spiritualism is very important to me because it gives me an insight into the spiritual side. Just trying to find the right words to to describe. Spiritualism is important. It's a great guideline for your life. It has great insight for you, for me, I should say. I can't speak for everybody, but for me, it's very insightful. I've always believed in an afterlife, in the spirit world. I grew up Roman Catholic.
Okay.
It just didn't fit my needs as spiritualism, as I have found through going through life, that spiritualism did fit my life more than the religion that I was brought up in. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else to say
That's good for now. We just wanted to hear a little more from you. That's all. Yeah, that's very common, I think. I would say the other ladies here would concur. You know, we often hear that, right? We have people that are seeking truth, seeking faith, seeking connection to the divine, and they were given a resource or a ground for that based on their family or their heritage or their culture. And then as they mature, they start to realize there's something missing here, or there's something more. Either way they go with it.
Right, exactly.
And then spiritualism kind of offers that. Well, kind of, it does. It offers that opportunity for us to go through and look at things from a very practical and humane sense, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah. So we have Debbie here. Hi, Debbie. Nice to meet you.
Hello. Nice to meet you, too.
Now, I see you're trying to get on two different services. Shall I close the other one? Do you have two windows?
Yeah, like being in two places at once. Only it's the same place.
What is it? Bi-locating or something?
She's bi-locating.
Right, I've never done it before. It feels great. It doesn't feel like anything. There I am. Back.
I pulled you back.
This is really spooky. Yeah.
That's all good. Well, welcome, ladies. And Debbie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Let's see. I, as far as spiritualism is concerned, there's a lot of things about me besides spiritualism, so I didn't know exactly where to start, but I'm guessing you want spiritualism. So anyhow, I've been around and doing a lot of things with spiritualism. I'm a medium myself, and I've been doing that for many, many years. And Karen and I met one day when a friend of mine, I asked, did you want to go to visit Karen's church? I'm from Pittsburgh. Karen's church is in Newcastle, which is about an hour away. So we went to see the church. It was beautiful. And I can tell there's a lot of work that's been done into it and a lot of love and a lot of spirit in it. And from then on, Karen and I have sort of been friends, talked about a lot of things. And my interest mostly is in the history of spiritualism, in the philosophy of spiritualism. And I guess, thirdly, in the mediumship of spiritualism. But the thing I like best about it is that it is, it's not just mediumship, but it brings the spiritual sides of us into it too. Whether we get the spiritual part from the spirit people or whether we get it directly from the divine in some way. That's what I like about spiritualism, and that's what I've been doing.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, it's definitely easily relatable to be when you're a medium to recognize there is a component of spiritualism or, well, mediumship that advances us personally as the recipients of the messages. And in the healing we're offering, we get some of that. But at the same time, we have to keep our game up, right, so to speak. We have to be able to step into the power, and we have to be able to be responsible. We have to be able to offer good information. So we have to do our own personal work on ourselves as well. And then I really believe that's the only way we can really be effective in the community is if we continue to grow ourselves. So I know, Karen, you wanted to talk a little bit about community and your community and how that all comes together.
Well, when I first opened a church, I knew I wanted to be in the community. I had been in the community anyway. I was a social worker in this community for over 30 years. So I already knew people in the community doing, you know, work in social work. You meet a lot of different people. So, but I wanted them to respect the church in a way that, well, what kind of church is that? A spiritualist church? Oh, that's a woo-woo church. But I didn't want that label of my church being a woo-woo church. So I worked very hard, and I have to say that I pulled a lot of strings on my social work connection to do things to bring the church into the community. What we do, we work a lot with different agencies. By Christmas time, we find children and families that need gifts or things for Christmas, you know, and so there's an agency I work with for that. Nice. We do Day of Caring with the United Way. Everybody, we get together and we do all that. We have a lot of, we have a big 4th of July party sometimes. We have, we do Thanksgiving before the church closed for COVID. We do a free giving dinner. Anybody can walk in the doors and have a Thanksgiving meal on us, on the church. So I've tried to do a lot of things in the community that the church is a bona fide religious organization in the community.
Wonderful. Yeah. Service, right? Service in community. Service
yes.
into community. Service for community. Support of mm-hmm. community. Yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Wow.
And we do have the Tibetan monks come every once in a while.
Oh, nice.
And we have a couple sand mandalas that they let me keep and not throw them, you know, get rid of them. And they're up in the church. Yeah. So, you know, it's very important to me.
Yeah, I think the COVID phase that we went through, the whole lockdown, I think that was an opportunity for a lot of people to realize how important it was that, as Herman Melville says, we cannot live only for ourselves. 1,000 fibers connect us with our fellow men.
Right.
You know, that we need people. We need each other.
We do.
And we need to recognize the value of that even in the individualism. And, one of the things I thought of, and any one of you can chime in on this after I'm done here. One thing I've been thinking a lot about is how, you know, we believe God is in all things, and that means God is with us, or with our spirit. Our spirit is always connected eternally to God, but we're still an individual expression of the divine.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's the same thing with a community, right? You're not going to lose your individualism because you're in a community. In fact, your individualism is incredibly important because you're contributing to the growth and the creative support and development of that community. If you ladies have any, you ladies, that's a very weird way to say that. If my guests, our guests, have any way to give examples of how this has worked in your communities, I would love to hear that. I would love to hear the stories behind the community building that you've done.
Quiet.
They're all quiet.
I think I'd like to talk a little bit about my experiences with the church, because I was brought up in a, you know, Roman Catholic religion too. And there, to me, there really wasn't a lot of community there. You know, there wasn't, like, for our church, we get to know each other as people. And we have, when we have our community events, like when we have our parties and our, even just a community of bringing a covered dish for a dinner, just to sit down and talk with people that are in the church and just, you know, we don't talk about church things. We talk about our families and how we're doing. And I know a lot of the people that participate in the church miss that and are looking forward to when Karen is able to reopen the church. And so I think our community in the church is strong, and we've built good relationships with it. And myself, I know I was at least a member of the church for 10 years, and then I took the mediumship class, and I also assist at the church too. So I just appreciate that community that you feel with the people that belong to the church. And also I can, you know, I can keep in touch with them, even though we're on kind of a still on trying to get through this. But, you know, Karen's had so many good classes throughout this time that I've learned a lot more about how to improve my mediumship. And I feel that had it not been for, you know, her going through that to get this, you know, to keep things going, because we couldn't meet together physically, Karen went out and really got some good speakers. And I've learned more about my mediumship and just to improve myself. So that's my two cents.
And it is very much appreciated. Yeah, the COVID lockdown was tough on a lot of people. Absolutely. So when you're bringing community together like that, obviously, people are people, and there's challenges that come up. Individuals are going through difficult times, or they're even protesting against some kind of thing that the group wants to do. I don't want to go negative on things, but I want to look at the, you know, the rougher side of community, so we can see how spiritualism can support healing that. Do the ladies here have any thoughts on how spiritualism can really help us heal those little glitches in our communities, or help the people, more importantly, is what I'm referring to?
I think that you have to look at the situation and what healing needs to be done for those individuals. And so you look at what you need to give them to help their situation get better. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Because I've had people that aren't even church members that have come to this church, and I point them in the right direction and make sure that they get all the right services to help them. It doesn't matter to me if they belong to the church or not. We're here to help people. You know, and they can tell you, Pam and Mel, we have an open door policy in my church. Whoever needs to come in and do service, whoever needs to be talked to, whatever they need, I have to say that I try to go out of my way to help them get what they need.
So if we deal a lot with bereavement and people who have lost their loved ones, how do we support that person in an ongoing way? Because as a medium, they sit with us, we bring them the message, we bring them the support, we help connect them, we offer them the resources that you're talking about. But in terms of emotional support, through that grieving process? I mean, you're a minister, you do spiritual advice, you take people on privately and work with them. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, I do. And I also point them in the directions of different groups they can get into.
Good.
Bereavement groups. I think that's very important.
Yeah.
You know, as a medium, yeah, I can only go so maybe they need to go a step further somewhere else. So you have to look at that and not let your ego get in the way and say, geez, I can do this. I can do this all. No, we can't. We have to take on, you know, other ways of helping them get through these times.
Right. And that's where some of the spiritualist principles can come in too, right? You can give them some resources. You can give them access. You can help them with the evolution of the soul. You can help them with their personal responsibility, but they still have to step in and do it themselves, right?
Yes, they do. They have to do the work.
I think
we just do the work for them.
I think those are some of my favorite, well, I mean, I guess to me, the God is in all things is obvious to me, so it is a favorite one of the principles, but one of my favorite principles is indeed the fact that there is personal responsibility, right? And there's an evolution, there's a chance for retribution. We can make a mistake, but we can also heal from that mistake. We can change things. We can use natural laws to bring in solutions and resolutions to problems, and we can work together to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Beautiful. Now, we have, are you all mediums, ladies? Let's see. I think you all said you were mediums, correct?
Yes.
Now, I know Reverend Heasley had mentioned something about having call-ins, so I wanted to see if there was anyone in our listening audience that wanted to try calling in and ask us questions about spiritualism, ask us questions about the spiritual path church specifically, anything about healing or mediumship, questions about the work. You can call us in at 818-739-8818. That's 818-739-8818. And I am trying to look online here at the live just to see if we have any commentaries. So far we don't. But yeah, feel free to call in if you have a question. So ladies, I'm happy to have you here. I would love to have you answer this question. What was your most profound spiritual experience? I know it's hard to sometimes when we're spiritual seekers, it's hard to just nail it down to one. But who has an experience they could share with us today?
Would you repeat the question once again?
Sure. What was your most profound spiritual experience? Now, of course, that could be a revelation. That could be an encounter with the divine. That could be anything else that you could connect to. It doesn't have to be based on one thing. I know.
I wouldn't say it's the most profound. It's just that there's so many during the course of your life.
Exactly.
And you keep thinking, oh, this is the most profound one. And then you live a little bit more. And, oh, this is the most profound. So, yeah, so the profound ones stick out. But my most profound one, I believe, or at the top 10, was the very first time I ever connected with somebody in spirit. And it is a little bit of a funny story. Which could be quite long, which I'll make it very short. okay, so I had lived in Pittsburgh as a youngster. I moved away and had actually just come back, and I didn't really know anybody. I wasn't really connected to anybody there, and I got a tarot reading, actually, which was my first one, and I was very nervous about it. The people invited me to a meditation group the very next day. I didn't know these people at all. I didn't know what a meditation group did.
Okay.
And I had done many years of meditation by myself, but not with anybody else. So I was hoping they would, you know, not like dance around or, you know, I thought, I hope they keep their clothes on and things like that. So I really was very naive with what's going on there. And come to find out that they actually did take their clothes off. No, I'm kidding. No, they did. Gotcha. So I got to the place, and the funniest part of the story is I walked up to the door. This was in an apartment high rise. Up to the door to knock on the door, and this witch cackle happened. And I was frightened enough to begin with, and I thought, oh, my goodness, what is wrong with this place? And I walked away, came back, same thing happened again, and finally got enough nerve to stay there. And I was welcomed in, and as I walked into the place, I heard another witch's cackle. I'm like, oh, my goodness, what did I agree to here? Well, I kept saying to myself, at least I could leave. And anyhow, as it turns out, they had one of those motion sound. So every time you walk by, it makes the sound. So that was this, the spookiness to that is out. So anyhow, so now we're in the circle, mm-hmm. and they tell us to just say whatever we get. I didn't know what that meant at the time. And people were closing their eyes saying, I get red, I see blue, I didn't see anything, except I did see the black of my eyelids closed, and that was it. And then next thing I knew, it was like a movie. All these things started to happen. I won't go into all of it, but the woman sitting next to me, her mother came through at that point and told me some things that were exactly about her. And after the message was given, the woman told me her mother had passed the day before in England. So,
good for you.
So that was my most astounding. I was shocked for weeks after that. I was like, I can't believe this, you know, mind blown. But it opened up a whole new life for me, actually.
Right. Absolutely. And so now, do you find you're as good then as you are now in terms of making the connection that the it's always as accurate all the way through?
Oh, I'm so much better.
Thing, yes.
I'm so much better now than
I was. Well, I was going to say, but then the thing that gets better is ourselves, right? Our own ability to stay out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
The way that we...
And, you know, you have to work at it. You have to, like, take classes like Karen has offered. And her wisdom in spiritualism, her wisdom in mediumship, I mean, you can rely on that to help. You have to have some sort of guidance along the way.
Right.
So I've gone to Lilydale. I've done a lot of different things, which I know probably all three of the other people have similarly done. You have to be educated in this. It may come just like it came to me, but after that, what are you going to do with it? And as you say, if you want to progress, you really have to work at it, and you have to do a number of things. And so that's why it's better today, is because I've used it, I desired to use it, and I worked at it.
Beautiful. Yeah. I like how you say you worked at it, because it is necessary.
Oh, yeah.
I know Mavis Patilla talks a lot when she taught us. She talks a lot about the natural medium and then the professional medium, right? The natural medium is when, well, of course, your family's going to want to talk to you. Everybody has the ability to do that. And yet to become the professional medium and to be in service of others properly, good guidance is important.
It is.
And practice and work. And
I think I was trying to think, because I have a few, but one that stands out, and I have to give credit to Lilydale for this. Jesse First and I were pretty good friends, so she said, hey, I need you to come with, she was chairing a stump, and she needed help. And I didn't really know that I was going to go up there and help her, and I wasn't really dressed. I was dressed nice, don't get me wrong, but, you know. So I went up, and I remember it was the first time that I ever demonstrated at the stump. And it was just so magical that the spirit came through, gave me their name, what was wrong with them. And the daughter was there. She had just, her mother had just died 6 months before that. And I just thought, that is a profound experience to me, and actually being with a great medium as Jesse.
Yeah, she's not registered at the Dale right now.
But, no, I heard that, but
yeah,
she was such a good, we had a lot of nice talks on her porch.
She was such an empowerment when she came to the stump and did her work.
Oh, yeah.
And
she's not that tall either, so we could make eye contact, so I like that.
And accuracy. Oh.
No,
that's fun.
But, I mean, that was such a profound, for me, I mean,
yeah.
that was the first time I ever demonstrated at the Spunk. And naturally, I was nervous because I know what people say, oh, they never get nervous. I can tell you to this day, I still get nervous when I have to get up and do platform mediumship. But a lot of great mediums, they got nervous as well when they had to get up. Estelle Roberts was nervous at times. Like I think Gordon Hickinson was too as well, somebody had told me. But to this day, I still have that edge when I get up there of being nervous.
So here's a question for you, Karen. Doing your mediumship, you have been affiliated with the SNU. People talk about the British of mediumship. Do you have a comment on that? Have you noticed the difference, or would you have a comment about how they are different?
Well, they are different in a way, but I feel that, you know, we're all spiritualists and we all do our mediumship in a way that we're accustomed to, all right?
Yep.
So however you were taught to have that rapport that you have built up with the spirit world that works best for you, then that's the way you should go. I was trained in evidential mediumship with Leonard Young.
Right.
I worked, like I said, I studied under him for about 2.5 years. And yes, I was taught his way. But that doesn't say that's the only way, because I feel it's an individual thing between you and the spirit world, how you build up that rapport between the two of you. And that just gets so much better when you have that rapport with them. I always think, boy, I'm going to build up that rapport. And I always think, you know, I just know that I can reach for the stars with them and they'll help me.
Yeah. Now you yourself, as you're reaching for the stars, how do you support your continued rapport building with spirit?
I talk to them. I tell them to help me. If there's something I need that I'm not getting, who better to help you than the spirit people?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Think about it. I mean, if I can't get something and they're not giving it to me, something's wrong with the communication between the two of us. So I say, okay, let's look at this. How can I do this? And I do. I talk to them.
And for those for those people listening, you're not asking for a car and spirit needs to deliver a car.
No.
You're talking about things that are for higher purpose for other people, right?
Right. If you can find that, if you do a message,
right,
and you hit on a wow thing that only the spirit world knows and that recipient knows, then you're doing your job.
And that connection can be felt. Would you say that? Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah, and it'll be felt by other people in the room as well.
Yes, it is. It's tremendous.
Yeah.
You got to hit that wow. I always say, I got to hit that wow now. I say to them, come on, let's do this. You got to help me. You have to help me hit that wow to the spirit world.
Yeah.
I remember I was doing a demonstration online, and we were doing it in Ireland. And I got the woman, she's standing beside me, and she said, I'm the mother, okay, I'm the mother. So I got all these people, now basically, there was people saying, oh, it could be my mother-in-law, it could be my grandmother. It could, and the spirit next to me said, I told you, I'm the mother. Get the woman, she's here, I'm her mother. So I said, well, no, it's not anybody, but it's somebody's mother, and I'm not backing down till somebody raises their hand and says it's them. And I got her name, and I got some characteristics about her. I just didn't throw the name out, because sometimes people say, oh, they just throw the name out. No. I got the name, but I got characteristics about her, and then she's standing beside me. She said, I'm telling you, I'm the mother, and she's here. I said, okay. And finally, the hand in the back goes, that's my mother. And I said, I know it's your mother. Thank God that you answered the call. Your mother's here wanting to talk to you.
So when you're doing your messages, you're going direct to spirit first and then addressing where it belongs thereafter, correct?
Yes, usually I do.
I do prefer that. I started learning that from the British mediums, the way that they worked. And I absolutely prefer that, because then I know I get in my way less. It's just that it takes longer, right? It takes a little longer.
Well, you know what? And you're putting yourself out there. Think about it, Kathleen. You're putting yourself out there, right? You're putting your name, your person, and you're thinking, You know, you, yeah. I mean, that shows you a lot of trust you have built up with the spirit world.
Right.
That you know this woman standing beside me said, you know, I'm the mother and she's here.
Yeah. And those were my wow moments. I took a whole summer demonstrating at Lilydale before I tested. And I just thought, I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care if I'm right or wrong. I'm going to stand up there and I'm not going to go to anybody in the audience until Spirit tells me who it is in the audience. And
right.
I'm going to listen to Spirit. I'm going to bring it in. And it took a while. I only got one message sometimes because they only give you so long there. I understand that. But I thought, I need to make sure that I'm completely with Spirit. And I did this for a summer, and it was amazing. Like you said, the wow moment, right? I mean,
they
gave me some details, and they said, you know, where I'm going, and they told me where I was going, and I could describe the person I was going to because I listened to what they told me.
Listened to them.
Right, because nobody put up their hand. You know how you're standing there?
Yeah.
You're
like, I was like, chirp, chirp. Here, and there I am, you know, it's a Zoom, and you're in Ireland. You know, but I never backed down from the way I was trained or taught because, you know, I really believe that you need, you could be a natural medium. I mean, I was natural. I could talk and see spirit. I could actually see spirit as well. But I wanted to actually learn how to build up that rapport with them, how to work with them. So I needed to go somewhere and do that. And it made me such a better medium to work with the spirit world.
Yeah, I would say that's been my experience too. It's I you know, as long as I keep doing that, and I notice when I slack off from my sitting in the power times,
uh-huh.
sometimes I just, this is more important than life, you know. But it's never more important ever.
No.
You know, it's my ego getting in the way, and when that happens. But when I notice that, I notice when I sit in the power, when I sit in trance, I notice that my readings are more accurate. And when I get up there, you know, when you're doing demonstration, the feeling of being part of everything comes to you while you're doing the work. It's incredible.
It's a very incredible.
It is.
Like, you know, we're all spirituals and we have to help each other
yes.
and support each other, no matter what way anybody else works. You
oh,
know,
yes. Oh, absolutely.
They look different than I.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter. We're all trying to achieve the same goal. To prove that there is indeed life after death through mediumship.
So when we're going through the organizational aspect of spiritualism, like the SNU and registered mediumship, this kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
they do put boundaries and parameters on things in terms of qualifiers, you know, whether you're
okay,
qualified
I understand.
To do
yes.
this. What are your thoughts on how that works and where that sits? In terms, I mean, because you work with teaching and training mediums, you see the variability in it. You see, and you obviously stand by the fact that we should all be our own. We should be ourselves. We should be connected in the way we need to be connected for the purpose
right.
of serving others.
Mm-hmm.
And yet not deny that in somebody. And yet at the same time, keep the standards high. Do you have any thoughts about that?
No, I think you should keep the standards high. And I think as mediums, we were always learning and progressing,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, it's not an easy path.
It's not a destination, right? I mean, you don't really arrive, even though there's a qualification process. There's no arrival, really.
Right.
Right. And so would you say it's more important as the individual medium to, even though those things exist, to look at it as everything I'm doing for spirit is an opportunity?
Yes.
And even if it doesn't go the way I want it to, it is still an opportunity that
well, sometimes it doesn't go the way you want to, but then, you know, sometimes you get the no's, but they help you in other areas. So you're going, so you switch. And so
right.
everything, even if it's not the way you want it to go, but you've learned from that experience not
right.
to do it that way again.
Right. Or to continue.
Or to continue
improving
to work
and
it out.
Progressing and work it out. Right.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Right. I think there's good knowledge. I mean, I know it's hard in life because there's been times when things, you know, like in relationship or work or finances, you know, where it's been imperfect because life is imperfect,
right?
Right.
Right. Well,
and,
life goes wrong.
And we can get really frustrated. And yet, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I was like, I have principles I can live by. I can sit here and say, okay, well, if I don't like the finances the way they are, what did I do to get them there?
Mm-hmm.
It's my responsibility. That's personal responsibility. And the fact that I can make change, well, okay, so how do I go about changing this? And if there's a community around me that can help me with, you know, knowing how better to manage finances, and I can seek that resource, just like you've given us resources for learning more about spiritualism, right? And the people that are have also benefited from that. There's something to be known, I think, whenever we're going through things, that we're not alone too, right? There's a sense that, oh, look at these people. They're all kind of going through life and doing the best they can using these principles and following their faith base.
Mm-hmm. I wrote the book Treasures from the Spirit World because it's little snippets of everything related to spiritualism, like automatic writing or okay. precipitated painting or spirit photography. People come in, they don't know about it. So I did that book specifically for that. You know, so people, it's a nice book.
Yeah, I don't have a copy. It's on Kindle. You can get it on Amazon, I noticed, and you can also get
Kindle.
A Kindle version, too.
There. It's a really good book. I mean, it's just tells about everything, you know, that you need. And so we started with that one. But I have to tell you, my greatest thing is when I go to Lilydale, well, I love the Healing Temple, and I love Barbara Sanson. But I always love to go in the hotel and just walk around the halls and look at those precipitated paintings.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. You know?
Yes, those precipitated paintings are very special.
Or to go up to the museum, right, and I could spend hours in there, or the library,
right,
looking at the books. I could spend hours in there. So Lilydale, to me, has always been a magical place.
Yes, it's a wonderful
always.
Place.
Or you go up the stump late at night, I don't know, 10 o'clock, and you sit there, and you just sit there, and you feel the empowerment, and you think, look at all the mediums that have come before me that were here, demonstrated. Mm-hmm. And I'm so blessed that I found Lilydale. Mm-hmm. And I'm so blessed that Lilydale entertained Susan B. Anthony when she did, you know, the talk. Mm-hmm. When she was supposed to be at Lake Chautauqua and they didn't want her, they said, hey, let's take you over to Lilydale.
Yeah.
That's magical.
Extremely special. Yeah. Yeah, there's so much that goes on there and has been valued there that goes beyond just going in for a mediumship reading. And
no, there's, and, I mean, oh, no, don't get me wrong. That's good there. I'm
of
not,
course.
I'm not,
oh, yeah.
It is. But I mean, when I go, I just love it. The hotel, I could sit there for hours in a hotel. Or I went to the library over there and looked at the old books.
Right.
Or walking up to the stump or the fairy trail. It's just, I mean, when I didn't even know what Lilydale was. And when I found it, I said, oh, my God, I've made this connection. This is a magical place for me. Or if you go and you walk down the street and you see where the Bang sisters actually in their house, at their house, and you look up and you see that's where they did their seances, where the precipitating painting came out.
Right.
Or, you know, the Campbell brothers. Great. Just great things have happened there.
Yeah, you can find a lot of resources on that. I know Ron Nagy wrote a book about the precipitated painting,
yes.
So you can get more information on that with
mm-hmm.
Ron Nagy's book. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So that's how I feel about Lilydale.
So will you be coming to Lilydale this summer? The season starts June 23rd.
I don't know. I think I might. I want to come up. I haven't been up there because of COVID. And I had some people in my family had some illness, so I couldn't travel. So I like to, because no matter what, Lilydale, I'm telling you, it's just the grounds, it's magical. Or, you know, I remember when I first went there, it was just something. I just had to take it all in. It was something.
Mm-hmm. So Debbie and Pamela and Marilyn, will you be down in Lilydale this summer?
I plan to.
Good.
At some point.
good. And
I hope to go also.
Good. There's all kinds of wonderful events coming on. It's I think they've got much of it up now on the website, lilydaleassembly.org, so you can check that out. The season starts on the 23rd. There's an entry fee, but once you're in, you get all those daily services. And Debbie, do you think you'll be coming down?
Most likely. I'm not sure. I don't have of anything this summer yet. So we'll
I'll tell you what, I'm on 11 Library Street, right near the museum. So when you're going there to do your research in the museum, you can pop over and see me. If I'm not reading, definitely pop over or text me ahead of time. And maybe we can go look through the museum or look at the paintings or just go grab a coffee at the sacred grounds. They've got that new coffee house opening. Yay.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, sacred grounds. So that will be wonderful. You can check that out. Porch. We can hang out there and I can meet you all in person. That would be wonderful. I'd love that.
We want to meet you as well.
Wonderful. I thank you so much for joining me today. I said it so that it's a little past an hour, but we're at about an hour mark. So I think we'll round up for now. I want to thank you all for coming. And Karen, thank you so much for offering our communities these wonderful tomes. So give Susan our thanks as well, because you know these are valuable contributions for sure. And obviously we have three people here that have spoken on your behalf for your valuable contributions as well, part of your cheerleading team. And those that recognize the value of your work and the value of the spirit, and they're all doing their own services as well. And I think there isn't a thing that says that any of us can't serve in the way that we want to serve. We can serve however we want to serve, whether it's a medium, a minister, write a book, you know, just take food to our neighbors. You know, there's so many different ways to serve in our communities and build our communities up. And I want to thank you guys for being such a wonderful community and an example to all of us. And I'm going to leave you with this little quote about community from Coretta Scott King. It is, "The greatness of a community is most accurately measured by the compassionate actions of its members." So thank you, compassionate ladies. This has been wonderful. I really appreciate you joining us. Stay well. Take good care of yourself.
Thank you.
And call me if you're in Louisville.
Nice meeting you.
Nice to meet both, all three, five of you, four of you.
Yes.
Talk to you later.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Recording stopped.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and...